You're listening to WRUU LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. The viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its license holder, or its staff. It's the Happy Homeschooler, where we explore and celebrate Savannah's homeschool lifestyle with your host, Mrs. Lisa Chandler. Join us as we examine why so many people are turning to homeschooling, find out what it really means to be a home educator, and discover valuable resources, programs, and events for the homeschooling community. If you're a veteran homeschooler, new to home education, or just curious about homeschooling in Savannah, you don't want to miss what's coming up next. And now, here's the Happy Homeschooler. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, everybody. I am Mrs. Lisa Chandler, the Happy Homeschooler, and thank you so much for joining me today. We are going to be talking about one of probably the most stressful things that homeschooling families have to deal with, and that is managing your schedule. So in today's show, I'm going to share with you some tips and some tricks about what you can do to help reduce the stress, alleviate the anxiety, and create a schedule that's going to work really, really well for your home study program. And before I get into that, I just want to say that I am always looking for guests for the show. So if you are interested in being a guest and sharing your homeschooling story, please, please email me at happyhomeschoolersav@gmail.com. All right, now that I've got that shameless request out of the way, let's talk about schedules. You know, we're going to talk about schedules and routines, actually. So I'm going to talk about both of those, but I'll first explain what the difference is between them, because they are not the same in homeschool world. So a schedule is really time dependent. You are starting at a set time and you are ending at a set time. A routine, however, is not time dependent. A routine could be like, okay, we're going to do this after lunch, or we're going to do this before dinner. And it's the same sequence of events, but it doesn't actually require a definitive start time or a definitive end time. And you're going to find, as we talk more in the show about schedules and routines, that one is better over the other, given the situation. So they're equally great to have in your toolbox and how you plan out your day, but sometimes one is really more effective than the other one, and we'll talk about when you should use one versus the other. They're both the same in the fact that they're structures, and so they give order to your day. And depending on the type of child you have, depending on the type of person you are, you may absolutely need some structure and order to your day. A lot of people in unschooling, especially, and I'm saying this because we are an unschooling family, we kind of fall into the trap of thinking that there should be no structure to the day and that everything should just kind of free flow. But honestly, that is not necessarily the best situation. So I will say this, depending on how old your child is, especially if they're younger, or if they get very anxious, if there's not structure and they can't predict what's going to happen next, that could lead a child to a lot of anxiety, or that could be true for you. You might need to be the type of person, you know, you might be the type of person who needs a bit of structure and planning to the day so you can predict what's going to happen next. That gives you comfort. Without it, it leads to disorder and anxiety and all sorts of anxiousness that we don't want in our happy homeschool. So I'll say again, depending on what the situation is, you might want to use one over the other. Now, why we need a schedule, you know, is because It really does help children learn about time and time management. So you could use it as a method of teaching them how to read time and saying, okay, at 8 o'clock we do this, but at 2 o'clock we do that. So you can incorporate it into your lessons of about physically learning about time and how our days are broken up into segments. But you can also use it to teach about time management. So if you have an hour, what can we do in that hour? If something is going to take us more than an hour, should we even attempt starting it and risk running behind to do something else? So a schedule is not necessarily a bad thing. It could absolutely help teach your child skills that they're going to need when they start interacting with the world at large. It also teaches them about deadlines. If we said that we're going to go to the park to play with friends at 2 o'clock, but you have to do A, B, and C before we leave, then you're going to have to do A, B, and C before we leave. Right? I mean, if you don't, then we're not going to leave until those things are done, which means you're going to be late getting to the park, which means you'll have less time to play with your friends. And these are the what we call natural and logical consequences of choices. So you're really helping your child when you give them a schedule to understand that there are deadlines, that there are things that must be done within a certain time frame. Now, not everything must be done within a certain time frame, but we do want them to learn that there are things that should or could be done within a time frame and to teach them how to respect that. I have a lot of people in my adult life who I think haven't quite grasped the concept of time management. They don't realize that, let's say, if they said they're going to be someplace at 9:30, then they can't really leave their house at 9:15, if they leave 15 minutes away. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of have to account for the time of getting out of the house, locking the door, walking to the car and getting in, backing up the car. Then you take your 15-minute drive. Then you have to park, get out, and make your way into the building. So, I mean, really, instead of 15 minutes, it's a 15-minute drive, but that whole experience of getting from your house to the location might actually take you 25 minutes, right? And so if you leave at 9:15 and you're supposed to be someplace at 9:30, you're going to be late. And it's really about respecting people's time and teaching our children a respect for time, and that's absolutely a valuable lesson. We're going to talk about some things to do to avoid getting too serious about it, of course, but it really is a valuable lesson for our children to learn that time is important, that it is the measure by which the world runs, and that our interpretation of time is going to need to consider other people's interpretation of time. It's not the same, right? So it might be okay if we're late to something, but it might not be okay if somebody else is late when we need something, vice versa. So those are just some things that we're, going to be able to teach our children through putting a schedule in place in our homes. It's also going to teach them responsibility because they each have a role in our families. And when we teach them that they have a role in our family, it's much more likely that they are going to be invested in our families, that they're going to care about the things that they do to help our family function correctly. So it's going to teach them a lot of responsibility when we have a schedule in place, and also patience, because it might be that they want to do one thing, but they can't do it yet because something else needs to be done. We have to follow a schedule. And again, I don't want you to think that this needs to be completely rigid in nature. We're just talking about planning out your day so that you can keep it flowing in a way that feels right for you. Some of you are not going to be that structured, and that's why we'll talk about routines. But for those of you who have yourself or children who need that type of structure and order to their day, incorporating a schedule is going to be very helpful. The world runs on schedules. There are schedules for buses and there's schedules for if you have a doctor's appointment. I mean, the world runs on schedules and appointments, right? So this is going to be a really good way of teaching your children to understand what that is and why it should be valued, even if that you're in your own family aren't necessarily very structured. But I think one of the most important things that a schedule will teach a child is self-control. Like, to understand that they have to control themselves in the situation. So if there's a task that needs to be done between 8 and 9 o'clock, and that's what you've given yourself, then it's up to them to control themselves to get that task done. No one else can make us get that task done within that period of time. So the self-control comes in, whereas when they do the thing in the time frame, they're rewarded for it because they get to move on to something else. And if not, then there's a consequence for it, and they get to understand that, okay, if I don't control my own self, then there's a cost to me. I've seen kids, my own children, they've done things like say, I can't do it, I don't understand, I need help, which is really just code for I'm feeling kind of lazy and I'd rather you do it for me. So if I pretend that I don't know, then you're just going to jump in and do it for me. Who's guilty of that? Me, because I tend to be impatient. Like, look, we've got to get there. And so, if they're supposed to make their bed before we go and they don't, I used to, praise God, I've been delivered now, but I used to go in there and just be like, oh, this is impossible. You just need to get it done. Let's go. We got to go. And then they're just sitting there all slow and unbothered while I'm in a tiff and fixing their bed for them. Right? So, I mean, this is really the process. If you're going to be putting a schedule into place in your home study program, understand what the benefits of it are and capitalize on all of that. If there is a time limitation, let's say I have to be at a doctor's appointment at 1 o'clock and I know this child is going to be late, then I might tell the child we need to be there for noon. Because I already know that they're going to make me late on purpose. So if I tell them noon, then we'll get there on time for 1 o'clock. Funny story. My sisters and I are notoriously late, and I shouldn't even say that. It's my sister Brenda and I. I'm going to call her out because she and I have no sense of real time. Like, we're still working on island time or something. But my sister Judith is very focused on time, and she really needs us to be where we say we're going to be when we say we're going to be there. As a matter of fact, she doesn't even drive with my sister to the airport anymore up in Atlanta because it stresses her out the way we always seem to be like at the last minute running to the gate. So for my birthday, my sister Judith planned this wonderful outing at this like dinner theater restaurant, which is right up my alley up in Atlanta. And she was telling us, like, okay, we got to get there for 5 o'clock. We got to get there for five. So we were rushing, and of course, we were late. Okay, we were late. But I kept saying, no, Judith says we have to be there for five. We got to go. And I didn't really notice it at the time until we like got into like downtown Atlanta, and I was like, wait, she's unusually calm for us being so late. So I looked over to her and I said, Judith, aren't you upset that we're late? She's like, no, not really. And I was like, not really? That's unlike you. And I was like, okay, something's up. She's like, actually, our reservation isn't until 7. And I was like, what? I don't know what was more shameful, the fact that she had to do that so that we could actually be on time. Because that would have been on me, or the fact that she tricked us. Like, I don't know what was more shameful. But sometimes you're going to have to do that because you guys know how you are. You know how your family is. Like, if I said to my family, we have to leave the house at 8 o'clock, guaranteed they're leaving at 8:15. So I have just gone ahead and started saying, we need to leave at 7:45 so we can leave at 8. I know it's kind of sketchy, but hey, you got to do what you got to do, right? Keep everything moving and flowing and doing what it needs to do to keep you guys happy in your homeschool. Well, guys, you're listening to WRUU LP 107.5 FM. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul, and also streaming online at wruu.org. Thank you so much for joining me for the show today. We're talking about keeping your homeschool happy by managing your schedules and your routines. So I'm going to continue by talking about what it is you can do specifically for your homeschool and the way that you can schedule it in order to make it happy for you. Now, again, we'll talk about routines later. We're just focusing on schedules. So I personally did schedules with my children when they were younger because it really did help them to keep things on track. But I only did scheduling for the morning time. After lunch, we kind of went to a routine-based schedule. So we did have some flexibility there. But I would definitely say for my kids, yes, we need to get up at 9 o'clock and then you take care of your breakfast, your hygiene and your room chores and be ready to start your homeschool at 10. So that gave them a bit of structure, but it also gave them the freedom. It didn't matter to me if they ate breakfast first and then brushed their teeth or if they brushed their teeth first and then ate breakfast. Like, it doesn't matter to me. I know some people are really like funny about that. They don't want to do one or the other, but to me, it really didn't matter. So then probably around 9:50, I would go check their rooms, make sure beds were made and rooms were clean. And then I'd go and just kind of wait for them in our kind of homeschool space until they were ready to get started. So that's kind of what I did when they were younger. And I'll tell you, at first, I started at 7 a.m. because I was trying to keep up with the school system schedule. That did not work for our family. So when I recognized that something wasn't working, I adjusted it. And this is what I think a lot of people are failing to do when they put a schedule in place. They're not being willing to adjust it if it's not quite working. And you have to be willing to make those accommodations and adjustments, sometimes even on the fly. If you find that it's not working, if you find that it's stressing your children out, you give them an alternative and say something to the effect of, okay, I see that we're kind of rushing to get here at 7. So should we try 8 or should we try 9? And then they let them say, yeah, let's wake up at 9. You know, that means that we're all involved in the process. For me, my schedule didn't start at 9. You know, I'm an early bird, so I would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and get my things done, you know, and that way I could have my time to, you know, drink my tea and enjoy myself and really relax, read my book, just be by myself before they ever got up. And then when they got up, I could shift my attention to what they needed. Now, after lunch, I always take a nap. So that's why we kind of went to a routine, because I really didn't want to have to watch them like that. I wanted a nap because I woke up so early. Okay. But again, that is completely up to you what schedule it is you plan to put in place for your home study program. So just be flexible. Keep an open mind. You're also going to want to consider how you do your schedule for events and activities that are inside your house versus outside of your house. So some of the appointments you might have are doctor's appointments or piano lessons or some type of sports that your kids are playing and they need to go to practice. Whenever possible, I like to put schedules and I always like to recommend that people group their activities together. So you could choose to say, every day of the week, we're going to try to schedule our appointments at, you know, 2 o'clock. So I know that if it's a doctor's appointment or a play date with a friend, it's going to be at 2 o'clock. I don't really care what day it is, but that's the time. And I'm going to give you from 2 till 4 to just get that out. So that means pretty much every day you might be out of the house from 2 to 4. Okay. And if that's cool with you, then, you know, go for it, you know. But the other way to do that schedule is to just pick a day of the week that everything falls on. So you might say, okay, well, our out of the house day is Thursdays. So it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a doctor's appointment or a piano lesson, I'm going to schedule it on a Thursday. So I know that that whole day we can plan to be out of the house and doing whatever it is that needs to be done. Some people prefer that. And some people prefer just knowing that, all right, 2 to 4 on every day is when we're out. whatever feels right, do it. And if you try one and realize it's not going to work, then, you know, don't do it. Change it. Try something else. I know when the kids are playing sports like basketball, they'll have practice every day of the week, you know, practically at the same time. So it might be that you're doing a combination of those two things, where your appointment day is Thursdays, with the exception of practice, which you know is going to be at 6 o'clock every day, you know, or 4 days a week or whatever it is. So you can absolutely adjust that for your liking. But do be conscious of it. When people are approaching you and asking you, hey, would you like to go do this? Or are you free to do that? If you have in your mind a set time that you can say, yes, I'm available at this time, or yes, I'm available on this day, it makes it much easier for you not to overschedule yourself. And that really is the danger of doing a schedule because, or not having a schedule, I should say, because when somebody approaches you with a great activity or something fun, or you see an activity online that you want to do, you might end up scheduling it back to back, like, oh, I want to do this and it's on Tuesday, and oh, I'm going to do that and it's Wednesday morning. Well, you know, we don't really think of these things, but if you have a late night on Tuesday, it's probably not a good idea to schedule something for early in the morning on Wednesday in case you'll need to sleep in, right? You know, likewise, you might do something on Thursday and Friday and then realize you have a whole day of activity Saturday. And it's like, okay, now you're exhausted and it's going to take you 2 days just for everybody to recover. You know, so now you're not even back to being able to function properly until Tuesday. These are the things you have to keep in mind. You have to keep in mind your ability to really get rest and not overdo it. I know for us, if we plan too many outings for my daughter, Amaya, we're not going to see her for 2 or 3 days afterwards because she's completely overwhelmed. She's completely had enough of people and she needs to go like back into her little introvert closet and just recharge, right? So keep that in mind that if you do have a certain day that you're saying, this is my set day that I want to go out and do activities, then it makes it much easier when people approach you or when you see an activity coming up to be able to say yes or no. And you are going to want to say no sometimes because too much activity is not good. I know that seems kind of weird, but having an overly full schedule, like going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, not only is it not good, it's not natural because our bodies have a cycle that involves rest and so should our schedules. You know, it shouldn't be that we're planning something from 9 a.m. to 4 a.m. every single day, you know, and the kids are eating lunch here and they're reading book here and they're doing this and this and this and this. Like that's over scheduling yourself. And so again, when the time, you know, when the clock strikes 9, if that child is not done, but you're saying, well, now we have to go to math, that's going to create conflict in your home, right? So we want to keep the schedules, but we want to allow for flexibility. We want to allow some buffer time in the schedule so that you guys can follow your interests and you can get a little bit off target, but it's not going to really just mess up the whole day, right? And that's when looping your activities comes in and it's really helpful. So like what we discovered, and this is not my idea, I don't know the brilliant person who came up with it, but it's awesome. And it's called looping. So pretty much every day is its own subject. So day one will be math and day two will be science and day three will be social studies and day four will be reading and writing, right? So we do all of those things, but then it might be that we took a couple of days off. So then we're going to, you know, we could go back to day one. Day one might be a Monday for the first week, but it might be a Wednesday the following week, right? We're just following that looping schedule and it allows us to give the child time to really get into depth about the subject. I've never really understood why we give a child 50 minutes to work on something and then say, okay, now change gears. You know, well, what if they weren't done exploring that particular topic? What if it took them, you know, 45 minutes just to really get into it? Now all of a sudden they have to stop. So this is why when I discovered like that looping schedule, it was like, oh, brilliant. Why not just do it that way? Because then I can say, okay, well, this day is language arts day. It's reading and language arts, and that's what we're doing. So it doesn't really matter how long it takes. We're just going to do our full week of assignments, but just in one day. You know what I mean? So that's another thing that you could do if you are looking to really personalize your schedule. And that really is the important thing, personalizing your schedule. allowing for extra time. You know, you might say that doing X, Y, and Z will take you 20 minutes, but it might take your child 40, right? So just schedule the hour and don't rush. Just take your time and do it whenever it is you get around to it. And another thing too about this schedule, it's really a good idea to give yourself permission to just cancel an event, cancel an appointment. You can always reschedule it. And if your child is supposed to be doing something fun, let's say that's only a once in a, you know, lifetime kind of situation, and they don't have their act together, then the natural and logical consequence is they miss it. And now they know, like they've learned from that experience, hey, quit playing around because you're going to miss something that you really want to do. And of course, they'll feel sad, but that feeling is what is going to deter them from being late in the future. So it's not a bad thing to give your child, you know, a cancellation or to cancel something for yourself. If you guys are running late and you feel your stress coming up, just go ahead and call it 30 minutes before. If you know you're going to have to rush, just go ahead and call the person and say, I'm so sorry, I need to cancel. And you can either request a rescheduling or, you know, ask them, would it be okay if I show up late? But it's always a good idea to communicate that with the person. You know, if you're meeting friends, you know, like I said before, you know that your family runs behind. So if you want to meet that friend at 2 o'clock, tell them 3 o'clock. And tell your family 2 o'clock, or tell, if you're going to meet that friend at 2 o'clock, tell your family you need to be there at one, you know, so that you can get there without that stress. What we're trying to avoid is you entering the experience with a level of stress that's going to cause you not to be able to enjoy the thing you're about to do, right? And if that's, we're about to do math, but we're running behind, and now I'm stressed out, then my whole interaction with my child is going to be stressful. Because I'm going to be upset that you caused me to be late. So just put all that aside. Save yourself the headache and just allow yourself, give yourself permission to cancel if you need to, or reschedule. I have taken to the habit of just adding in a backup day. So during my week, you know, I have a lot going on. I'm a pretty busy person, but I like being active. I like being engaged in my life. That's just who I am, right? But I will give myself 2 days a week where I can do something. So I might give a person an option of meeting on a Tuesday, but I know my Thursdays are free as well. So something comes up or something happens and I can't make it on Tuesday, I know that I have a free day on Thursday. I just don't schedule myself for things on that Thursday so that I can have a backup day. That might work for some of you, and for some of you, it might not, right? But if you know in your grand schedule, you know, because you kind of have to look at the big picture as well, you give yourself these little buffer days, you give yourself buffers in within a day, whether in the morning or the afternoon, and you say to yourself, okay, if I don't get to it on this day, I can always do it on that day. And that way you're not stressing yourself out. We don't want you stressed out, guys. We want you to be happy. And the last thing, because we're about to have to take our little break here in the show, but, you know, when somebody asks you to do something, if you're not 100% sure that you can do it, just say, can I think about it and get back to you? Can I check my schedule and get back to you? I cannot tell you how many times I have been approached by somebody, and before I even have a chance to think about what I'm doing, I say yes. Ugh. Is there anybody else like that out there? I'm sure, right? And we're just saying yes to things because it sounds fun. And then we have to go back, check our schedule, or we didn't check with our husbands, or you know, we didn't realize we had something else going on, and now we have to cancel. I mean, that makes us look so shady. So I've kind of taken to the thing now where I'll just go, hey, let me check and get back to you. You know, I do keep a Google Calendar in my phone so I can look at it real quickly. I have like multiple calendars on my Google. You know, like I'll have a calendar for family things, and I have a calendar for my husband's work things, and a calendar for homeschool things. Like I've got multiple calendars showing up in different colors on my phone just for that very reason, because I hate saying yes and then having to go back and tell somebody, my bad, can't do it after all. Well, guys, this is a part of the show where we have to take a commercial break, but we'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to WRUU LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, also streaming online at wruu.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Georgia voters will determine the future of the United States Senate with a runoff election on January 5th, 2021 for both U.S. Senators from Georgia. The voter registration deadline for the January runoff is December 7th, 2020, so if you're not already registered to vote in Georgia, now's the time to register to vote so you can vote in January. Then you need to vote in January. Registration and voting are both easy to do and are critical to preserving our democracy. The fate of the nation is in your hands. So vote on January 5th, 2021.
What does it mean when we say that WRUU is a community radio station? It doesn't just mean that we invite the community to create programming, and it doesn't just mean that we are a voice for the community. It also means that we are counting on the community to keep us going, and you are the community. Almost all of our modest budget comes from small annual or monthly donations from listeners like you. You get to enjoy our community-focused programming because many others have stepped forward to do their part. Now do your part by joining our community of listener donors. Go to WRUU.org right now and make a one-time or monthly donation, and thank you for supporting Savannah's community radio station, 107.5 FM.
The Savannah Art Association will celebrate its 100th anniversary with an historic auction of 100 works of art lasting 100 days from September 15th to December 15th, 2020. This online auction is intended to give its member artists an opportunity to display their craft while raising much-needed funds to support the broad range of Savannah Art Association member services. For more information, call 912-232-7731 or visit www.savart1920.com.
And we're back. You're listening to The Happy Homeschooler, and I'm your host, Mrs. Lisa Chandler. Thank you so much for joining me today as we're talking about how to save your mental health by developing a reasonable homeschool schedule and routines that are going to work for your family. And really, isn't that what this is all about? This is about figuring out how it is you can manage your time and the activities that your family is interested in doing to make sure you guys are not stressed and you're able to really and truly enjoy the time that you're spending together. You know, I've said it probably 100 times at least since I've started hosting this show. If you are not happy in your home study program, something is wrong. I mean, you're supposed to be happy. This is supposed to be a pleasant experience for you and your family members. And if you're anxious or if anybody is frustrated, if you're noticing a lot of arguments and complaints, then it's time to evaluate what it is you're doing that's not functioning correctly. And that's okay. Not everything is for you. I'll even go as far as to say that a lot of the things that we've come to learn and expect about how we function in the world is actually very dysfunctional when we try to implement it in our own families. So don't feel bad. You're not alone. I have gone through a lot of trying and throwing away things that I thought were great ideas or things that I was used to doing because that's how it's always been done. And when I started trying to implement them in our family, they just didn't work. They barely worked when my children were in school, but we managed, you know, like we were stressed, but we managed. But when you're at home, you don't want your home to be a stressful place. You want your home to be like Superman's fortress of solitude, right? You can kind of come and recharge and be at peace and rest. So that's what we're talking about today, how it is that we can use schedules and routines to help us accomplish that. All right. So we talked about in the first half of the show how a schedule is really focused on time. So you're going to be doing something at 8 o'clock, followed by something at 9 o'clock. And, you know, we talked about how you should give yourself plenty of time in between these activities to give yourself kind of transition space, right? You don't just want to say, oh, we're working on this subject for an hour, because that's not giving you enough time if you get really into something to really truly work on it, right? So rigidity and being too, I guess the word I'm looking for is too strict about your schedule can then lead you to anxieties. So we don't want that. We want the schedule to be something that makes you guys feel comfortable. My daughter, our youngest, she had anxiety issues. So whenever it is we tried to time her or put her on time limits, that would just stress her out. And that would just be the end of our day, you know, because it would take the whole rest of the day just to calm her down. But when we started doing routines, she responded to that so much more positively. So that's what we're going to talk about right now, the routines. So a routine is allowing you to still get your required daily tasks done, but it is not doing it based on any like strict time frame. So your routine could be a daily routine. It could be something that you do weekly. It could be something you do monthly or seasonally. We went to routines when we were cleaning the house. So there would be monthly times where we might wash all the comforters, but then there would be seasonal things that we did where we pulled out behind the refrigerator and cleaned it, right? It's not something we did every day like vacuuming. It's not something we did every week like, you know, dusting or washing curtains, but it was on a routine. So I guess you could say that a routine is just a more relaxed schedule, because I'm saying it needs to be done, but when it needs to be done is not as strictly regulated. So sequence is what's important when you're thinking about routines. Let's take, for example, you're a homeschooler and your morning routine is to wake up and get everybody does their morning meditation, their hygiene, you go for a walk, you have breakfast, but whatever sequence that you put those things in, your family knows that whatever time they wake up, that's the sequence. You might talk and say the night before, okay, we've had a late night tonight, so we're not going to wake up until 10, right? But when you wake up at 10 or in the vicinity of 10, shall I say 10-ish, you know what the routine is. The kids know that before they come out into the general living space, they have to make sure that their rooms are clean and their hygiene is done. Don't come downstairs looking for me, or don't come out of your room looking for me if your teeth aren't brushed yet. You know, that's the routine you set up. And then they know, okay, then I come out and the routine is we have breakfast together and then we talk about and plan our day. So whether breakfast for you guys ends up being at 11 o'clock one day, so be it. Call it brunch. Keep it moving, because your activities and your life is dependent on the things that you're choosing to do. So it shifts. It's constantly ebbing and flowing. I have found that if I have a really late night, it's not even worth it to me to wake my children up at our regular wake-up time. You know, I don't even want to wake up at that time. I need to recover and to rest. I have found that if I am not in good mental and physical condition, homeschool is really difficult, because I'm not looking at everything my children are doing and being excited or interested or invested in it. I don't even care. I'm just tired or hungry and I want a nap, right? So when you're planning your routines, or when you're considering what routines to do in your home, keep in consideration that you come first, you know, like your children's health comes first, like it comes before actually doing the thing. So if you have a routine and you know that's what you're going to do in the morning, then that's just what happens in the morning. And then you say, after we do that, then we start work. So work could start at, 11 o'clock one day, but it might not start until 2 o'clock the next day. It might start at, 9 o'clock the next day. It might start consecutively at 9 o'clock for several days and then go all wonky. And you don't end up homeschooling until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's okay, because your children are still going to get comfort in knowing that there are certain things that come first, second, and third. So they're not so much worried about the timing. They are worried about, but we're supposed to do that next, And I'll reiterate this. Every single human has a cycle, right? We have a pattern. We have that systemic doing things. We feel comfortable in that. And so in the routine, that's going to give your child a sense of comfort because they're able to predict what's going to happen next or anticipate what's going to happen next without feeling completely lost. I have found, especially in younger children, if they do not know what to expect, it makes them so nervous. Some of them get so nervous. Others love the adventure. They don't want to know what comes next. Everything is a surprise. They love that. But there are a lot of people who don't like that type of insecurity, and they need to know what to expect. So a routine can really help give them comfort because they know what comes next. If you are doing a routine and you are morning people, let's say, then you might want to put the more strenuous activities scheduled or routined in the morning, right? So you'll say, okay, we're morning people, so we're going to get up and we're going to do our schoolwork in the morning. If your children are more afternoon people or you are not morning people, then you'll say, you know what? I'm going to leave the morning open. We're going to kind of wake up when we wake up, whenever our bodies tell us to. You guys get your routines done, but then 1 o'clock is when everybody needs to be ready to come together to work because we're afternoon people. I know for a period of time during my children's teenage years, they all slept until 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon because they were preparing for that growth spurt. Their home runs were out of whack, and so they required a lot more sleep. I actually was so concerned that I took my son to the doctor and said, okay, is he okay? Because he's sleeping sometimes 14 hours a day. And I know that was unusual to me. How does a person sleep for 14 to 16 hours a day? And then of course he wakes up late. Now his whole circadian rhythm is off whack, right? Because now he's staying up until 2 a.m. That could have been a source of arguments for our family, but instead we looked at that and saying, well, we're in a new season right now, and that's what he needs. This is what's happening. So we're just going to flow with it. And that meant that I would wake up early, do my stuff, take a nap so that I could be up and ready for him at 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and stay up later with him. So again, my routine and schedule had to shift a bit because that's what they needed, right? And I would do the things that required my interaction with him at that time when he was most alert and ready, between 6 and 8. And then I'd let him go off and do the rest of his work himself. And then the next day I would just check it. So the routine had to shift. It wasn't really based on time. It was really more based on his readiness. So keep that in mind if you are looking at your children. The child you know and love when they're 5 is not the same child when they're 13. It's not the same child when they're 16. And you're going to have to get to know that child and get to really evaluate what it is they need for that period of time in their life development, right? And it's okay. I can't stress that enough. It's okay to just go with that flow and get to know your child in every season that they're growing through. They have a spring season where they're really, really active and they love doing everything, but then they might have a winter season where they're just more reserved and introspective, and that's okay. You can still enjoy them regardless of what time or what kind of, period they're going through. It's fine. So routines are made for you not you for the routine, right? The same is true of a schedule, but a routine is made for you. Understand though that you really do have to follow the same pattern of routine. It really shouldn't be that you're doing like breakfast first one day, followed by hygiene, or, you know, room, and then you're cleaning the house up. And then the next time you're cleaning the house up and then you're doing breakfast, because your children are used to eating around the same time. Their body settles into a routine. And then if you kind of start to upset the routine, what you'll find is they'll become a bit more confrontational about it. So keep your homeschool happy. Don't even worry about trying to be too crazy and changing things up. Once you find a routine that works, just stick with it. All right, you're listening to WRUULP 107.5 FM. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with Global Soul, and you're listening to The Happy Homeschooler. I'm your host today. This is Lisa Chandler, and we're almost to the end of the show. So we're talking about schedules and routines, and in this last part of the show, I really want to talk a little bit about some warnings that we just need to keep in mind when we're implementing these routines and these schedules in our homes. So I'll start with routines. You know, sometimes some of us have more of an issue with procrastination than others, right? And procrastination just means you know you're supposed to do it, but you're going to wait until the last minute possible to do it. I remember when I was in college, if I didn't have the right amount of time pressure, then I just wasn't interested in doing it. So let's say I had a paper due a week from now. I would not start that paper right away. I know that starting it would be a very responsible and mature thing to do, but at a week out before the deadline, I don't have enough pressure to really motivate me to get it done. On the other side, if I waited until, let's say, 3 days before the paper was due, and then I started working on it, then I entered a state of panic. And sometimes that panic would lead me to not do a good job at all. So what I found for myself was maybe right around the 4 day mark was a good time for me to start working on it, right? Some of you might feel like 2 days before is a good time to start working on something because you need that time crunch to really focus your thoughts and your mind and get it done. If that is you, then embrace who you are. If you notice that in your children, then embrace it. Right? If you know that if you give them something too far in ahead, they're either going to forget or they're going to procrastinate, then stop giving them things to do too far in ahead. Yes, we want to teach them about time management. Yes, we want to give them all of those skills on, okay, here's your calendar and this is how you keep track of these things. Absolutely. But you want to give them the room to discover how best they function. And if you're telling them to do something too far ahead when they don't care about it, they might end up just slapping whatever thing together because just to get it finished, right? And if you're waiting until too short of a deadline, then you might stress them out to the point where they say, "This is impossible. I can't even try." So when you're really getting to know your children, you're going to want to keep in mind that there's a danger in creating a routine or, letting them know that something's going to go on, 3 weeks from now, and then they just completely forget and disregard it. I mean, aren't we that way? You know, doesn't it kind of lead us to putting things off when we know we have a lot of time and then somebody will remind us, like, oh man, I forgot. Or even worse, after the thing is over, we're like, whoa, I really wanted to do that now. Completely forgot it. So there are, even in your routines, opportunities for you to put systems in place where you're keeping track of these things. Again, whether that's your phone, a calendar, or a physical calendar in your pocketbook or your purse or something, like whatever it is, but sometimes those routines can lead to that putting things off. So just be aware of that. You know, you're going to find your sweet spot, you know, live and learn, figure that out, and then you'll be fine. And then on the other side, a routine that is too relaxed is no good at all. Okay. So if you are not applying some type of pattern or structure to the routine, then it's basically just like you're living as a free for all. Now, as an unschooling family, I'll say again, a lot of people think that unschoolers don't have routines or there is no structure to your day, that you're just supposed to wake whenever you feel like and do whatever you feel like. And if you were living in Alaska someplace and you were just not dependent on money and, you know, you had all the food and resources available to you, you could do that. But when you're living in a kind of like civilized community that has schedules and timeframes, you are going to have to balance that against a completely free way of being. So just figure out how much routine is right for you, how much scheduling is right for you, and blend it together to make your perfect home study program. And just know that, again, it will change from one month to another month or from one part of the year to another part of the year, depending on if your children are involved in sports or heavily involved in like theatrical programs or something at one part of the year, but not another. And then I think that older children do better with routines than younger children, because older children really are focusing on developing into adulthood. And so there's a lot going on both internally and possibly externally that is going to be, probably going to be better for them if you do offer them the chance to set their own routines or their own schedules and be more involved in that process. I think when older children don't have the ability to say, I don't feel well, and so I don't want to do that, then we're setting them up to not have the proper skills to prioritize their own self-care as adults. So for my own children, when I'm constantly going, like I can stay going, but there are days where I'm in the house and I'm not on the phone or the computer and I'm just resting. And I Sabbath, right? And my Sabbath could be a Tuesday one week and a Thursday the next week. It could be a Monday the following week. But I always take a day where I really try to just rest, like deeply rest. So I've taught that to my children. So now I will ask them, hey, do you want to go to the farm with me? Or do you want to go here? Or, hey, I'm going to be out running errands today. And I'll let them decide whether they want to incorporate what I'm doing into their routine. And sometimes when I wake them up in the morning, they're like, no, I don't really feel well. I think I'll just stay here, but I'll clean the house and get my work done or whatever. And so that kind of gives them the autonomy to be able to pick and choose what they want their day to be like. And there are some days where I am straight routine, especially with these older ones. I've got older teenagers and they need that, you know. But there are days when they need a schedule. So warnings about the schedule. try not to become too rigid. I have seen people become slaves to their schedule and they just feel like, no, we can't. This is scheduled. And it is so sad to me that you have now given over your power to the schedule that you created. You know, when I was first homeschooling and I would get stressed out, my husband would say, well, weren't you the one who created the schedule? Can't you just change it? I mean, simple enough, but so profound. If you created the schedule, then that means the schedule works for you. And if it doesn't work for you, then you change it. It's not like you have to now readjust your whole way of thinking and your whole day and everything that's going on and be stressed out because you have to be someplace. You just don't. So just keep that in mind, that becoming too rigid or becoming too relaxed on either of these sides of things is not going to be good for the functioning of your family. You know, we've heard the saying, family first. Well, that is true with your schedules and your routines. If you're sitting down and planning a schedule, include your family, ask them what they think, because you're trying to blend all of these humans together to create a well-oiled functioning machine, you know, a well-operating system. And so you have to include them. You as a parent could just create a schedule and have everybody blindly follow it. But if it doesn't meet their needs and it doesn't allow them time to rest, or it doesn't incorporate times where they're not feeling well, then you're going to end up with a little bit of a rebellion on your hands, or what I like to call a nonviolent protesting. They're not going to fuss at you. They're not going to yell, but they may not talk to you. They may not spend time with you. They may be ignoring you and making you think that they can't hear what you're saying. And it's just not worth it. It is not worth it to create those types of dysfunctional behaviors or introduce them into our families. It is much better to just work together to find what best fits you. And no, it's going to take you a while. Just know that. It might take you a while. Approach everything you're doing in homeschooling as trial and error. And then, even after you find something that works, keep in mind that it might only work for a season, because you guys are all growing and changing and evolving into the person that you're supposed to be, right? That you were destined to be in the earth. So give yourself a break. It's going to be okay. Don't stress out. You're going to be fine. Well, that's our show for today, guys. I hope that those tips were helpful to you in implementing some new schedules and possibly some new routines in your families. I really want you to enjoy your homeschooling journey. So that's why I offer you these tips. But again, take it or leave it. You know what I mean? Like, you're the only one who is able to define what your perfect homeschool program is. And it's definitely going to be unique and not look like anybody else's. That's what makes it so wonderful. So if you'd like to share your story with us, I'd love to hear from you. Please email me at happyhomeschoolersav@gmail.com. Again, thanks for listening. And now it's time for Happy Thoughts. Now, it's time for Happy Thoughts with the Happy Homeschooler. I came across a social media post that said, "You don't remember how weird you are until you have a child that's just like you." Oh boy, is that the truth. It's been a long time since I was a child, and I've pretty much forgotten all the crazy, annoying things I used to do. As a matter of fact, as long as you'd never spoken to my parents, you'd swear that I must have been a perfect angel that fell directly from heaven as a blessing my family just couldn't live without. I pretty much rewritten my childhood memories to include a halo and a set of wings. Then I had children, and there was no more denying it. I didn't have wings at all. And if you let my siblings tell it, I was hiding a pair of horns somewhere under this head full of hair. My children talked a lot and were really messy. And were curious about everything. They always wanted to be around me, and I had to stop whatever I was doing to look at them so they could show me some amazing thing they'd discovered. And there was always something amazing I needed to see right when I was in the middle of doing something important. I couldn't tell them anything because they already knew it all, and every discovery they made was the first time I'd heard of it too. Yep, they were just like me. The happy thought for today is to remember that weird can be wonderful. Childhood doesn't last forever, and eventually your children will grow up to be an amazing human just like you are. And since they are just like you, that makes you the best person to help guide them through the awkwardness of childhood and successfully into adulthood. As you homeschool, I encourage you to embrace the weirdness and enjoy it. Allow your children's behavior to help remind you who you were and reveal the person you were always meant to be. Thanks for listening today, and happy homeschooling. The viewpoints expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its license holder, or its staff.